Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you. We're glad you're here. And we are glad that Sean is here giving the message today. I know many of you are here in support of Sean, so thank you for being here today. We will begin with a moment of gratitude and prayer, so I invite you to close your eyes if you would like, and we'll just take a moment to center ourselves. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the gift of this new day, for this time to pause, to listen, and to learn, and to be together. Amen. We will continue with a hymn, so I invite you to stand and find the cranberry-colored hymnal in front of you and turn to page 641. We will sing verses 1, 2, and 5. 1, 2, and 5 of hymn number 641.
Join me in another prayer. Dear Lord, we give thanks for this opportunity to take some time out of our busy schedules to come together and reflect. We give thanks for the many blessings we see, feel, and give each day. And we give thanks for the multitude of friends and family who make the sun shine a little brighter and the rain a little less dreary. We ask that you watch over us and our friends, family, and people we have yet to meet, as we struggle to find normality in a time of great uncertainty. In your name we pray. Amen. I love talking. I talk all the time, and I love to discuss ideas from varying fields. Thus, nailing down a subject to speak on was rather difficult. I could go on for hours on my thoughts about current and past U.S. monetary and economic policy, or talk about the finer points behind Martin Luther and his Reformation. Those who know me know this to be true. Instead, I'm going to talk about talking, specifically speaking with others. Every day, every hour perhaps, we are engaged with people over topics of varying degrees of contention. Some topics will seem rather mundane, like discussions over how cold it's going to get within the next few weeks. Others will be rather difficult and sometimes quite divisive, like your friends' differing political views. But how do we approach these conversations? For a monotonous topic like the weather, this comes easily. You complain with the other person for about 10 minutes, and the conversation ends with, "Gotta love Minnesota." When it comes to conversations where two parties are not necessarily in agreement, frantic confusion ensues. Ideas of what is right and what is wrong seep into our language. Goals for the outcome of the conversation begin to be formed by both individuals. And the minds of both close for the purpose of defending their side, sometimes from a historical standpoint, literally to the death. Is it wrong to defend your idea? Is it wrong to hold strong convictions towards any number of concepts or notions that we see here in the world today? No, of course not. I would encourage it. But what is accomplished when one refuses to listen to perspective? What is accomplished when one refuses to even acknowledge the existence of any idea besides their own? Nothing. According to Joseph Joubert, a French moralist and essayist best known for his work Pensée, or Thoughts, the aim of argument, or of discussion, should not be progress, should not be victory, but progress. What he's arguing is that when you approach a conversation, whether contentious or not, preconceived notions of how the conversation should end should not appear. It should never be your goal in an argument to convince the other person of your idea. If anything, all you will accomplish is the other person believing far more fervently in their initial idea, leaving the conversation at an angry impasse. Instead, Joubert is arguing that the true goal of a conversation should be of progress. Not progress towards one idea or another, but progress towards a notion of mutual understanding. Progress towards learning about multiple perspectives and narratives that may inform future conversations of a similar nature, or provide perspective towards creating new and maybe more inclusive ideas and concepts. It is far more interesting to be speaking with someone of a vastly different perspective than your own, as it can create new ideas. Why spoil the opportunity to learn about different perspectives? Why spoil the opportunity to engage with an individual in a way that leaves you both feeling more humble and connected? We at Gustavus have a profound opportunity to engage with many different people from many different fields of thought. I could go into the pews right now and find that I am speaking to students, staff, friends of the college of 10, 20, or more fields of thought. We could go on for hours with our different perspectives on current events going on around the world, or perhaps even about how boring this speech may seem. But how cool is that? How cool is it that I, an econ and history double major, could go and speak with a biologist or an artist and have no preconceived notions of how that conversation is going to go? That I can learn about the perspective of biology and art in some of the fields I study. Or maybe I can include my idea of economics in the fields of biology or in the fields of art. It's an incredible opportunity, and I try to utilize it as often as I can. That's when I see articles like the article I saw this morning from USA Today, that 51% fear election day violence, that people are literally in fear that should the election go one way or the other, that their lives may be at risk. What does this accomplish? What are we accomplishing when we find division and we approach it with more division? Nothing. Ideas are not created in a vacuum, and ideas are certainly not created from destruction. Ideas and new ways of thinking are created from understanding, from learning, and especially from listening. That's one of the biggest problems of conversations in these days, isn't it? You tell someone something and then all of a sudden they have no idea what you just said. They ignore it or they're going on to their new point already. And that's not the kind of community that I want to see in the United States. I'm not a citizen here to be living in fear of never knowing if my idea or if my notion of how things should be done may end up unfortunately causing me undue harm, whether physically or emotionally. So what I want to see, and what I'm hoping for as we continue this very divisive election, and as we continue looking at ideas and concepts that begin to become more prevalent in our society, like globalization and the will to bring countries up from the ground after years and years of destructive colonialism and imperialism. I want to see ideas, conversations. I want to see people being able to go into a random room and talk to a person about any number of thought. Because that is going to be far more interesting than going into a conversation where everyone's just thinking about the same thing. You're not going to learn anything from that. If anything, you're just going to reinforce that everyone loves that idea. Well, that's cool. That's not how we got planes. That's not how we got computers. And that's certainly not how we got our economic ideas, from just agreeing with each other. We can most certainly disagree. But let's disagree in the way that promotes the idea that we all have a say, that we all have a voice in whatever we are speaking of. So when all is said and done, when the ink dries and my argument comes to a close, play the scholar. Ask questions. Ask why. Why do you believe this? Full disclosure, I'm a Republican. I'm going to leave it at that. But I would want people to ask, why do I believe in those ideas? Just as much as I will ask a friend, why is it that you believe in, for example, raising taxes or lowering them? I don't know. Getting rid of them, apparently. But why do you believe that? That's far more interesting of a conversation than shame on you for your belief. And it's going to promote that I can connect with them on a deeper level. Speaking with someone about these contentious issues can be so rewarding. You get to learn something about your best friend. Promote the notion of progress and respect. You will find that conversations become easier and friendships become easier to maintain when you don't call them stupid. You will find yourself learning new and exciting ideas that may engage your way of thinking and give you more of a holistic approach the next time you speak. Now, I'm not perfect. I don't always follow this idea of civility within conversation. I get rather excited about certain ones, especially economics. And there are moments when I need to step back and say to myself, wait a minute, I'm falling into those thought traps. I'm falling into those traps of not listening. And in the end, I will always try to listen to the other idea. I will always try to hear what the person is saying, because to me, I'm going to grow. Hopefully they will as well, but that's really not my business. To end my speech in a most Lutheran way, I'm reminded of the immortal words of Martin Luther at the Diet of Worms. Here I stand. I can do no other. I cannot and shall not recant. God help me. Amen.
Thank you. tomorrow for Daily Sabbath, as we will be engaging in Taizé, which is a form of singing meditation. Thank you again for coming today and receive this blessing. May your words be true and your hearts be open, so that together we may create a community of empathy, compassion, justice, and love. Amen.